This podcast is brought to you by PrideNZ.com and made possible through a generous grant from Aratayohi.
My name's Missy. I'm some weird thing between sexualities, somewhere between pan and demi. Gender is female by birth. Oh god, try to explain this. I'm too tired for this bullshit. Female, but somewhere else, but very much non-binary, if I was actually supposed to name a thing. So those are obviously minorities, the thing. Other than that, I don't think there's much more to be said.
Cool. Also, by your accent, I can tell you're American, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how has been, like, fitting into these minorities been for you different in America and New Zealand?
In America, I very much identified as female and, I guess, pansexual by the time I was leaving. Never really pressed it in such that it was just so much more convenient to say lesbian. Because I figure it's not my job to educate the masses. Even though if someone was to push, I would always say pansexual. Whereas in New Zealand, so in the States, I was specifically in Southern California, which is definitely more on the liberal scale in the States. It was never an issue so much as people just didn't know, so I just used a different label. In New Zealand, it's funny because I voluntarily surround myself with people who are quite queer. You know, they're who I not even choose, they just who I tend to be gravitate towards. It's very interesting. I've started working in hospitality in New Zealand. Well, I did both places, but and there's a lot of good people who are willfully ignorant, and it's just very interesting to try and explain to them what the idea of, like, transgender is, whereas in Southern California, it was just kind of like, it's a thing. I remember my parents, we had a family friend who was transitioning, and they were kind of like, this is what's going on, this is what's happening, some people are like that, whereas here, it's still kind of, people just don't know. So, I'm inclined to say it's more progressive and only, like, because you guys have had a trans person in Parliament. Of course, the States can't say that. But at the same time, I think just general ignorance as a whole. Yeah.
Were you very active in the queer community back in California?
In my high school, I was tangentially involved in the GSA, Gay Straight Alliance. I think I was much more active on an individual level. I was the first to come out of my friend group. I had a lot of friends come talk to me, and be like, I think I'm gay. I'm like, sweet, let's have this chat, let's talk. And I still very much am like that in here. I've had a few conversations about how to have sex with a vagina to people who are within the queer spectrum. So it's very just on a person-to-person level. I remember some people after high school coming up to me and being like, seeing you so open in your relationships in high school really kind of astounded me and inspired me, and other such quotation mark words. So, which is not something I actively did, but it's something I thought worth note.
What sorts of differences have you noticed in the communities, the queer communities in Southern California and Wellington?
It's hard because I was under 18 in the States and over 18 in New Zealand. And unfortunately, I think a large part of the community is in clubs. And, you know, having a gay club and stuff like that, or accessible for people who are of age. you know, which makes it a bit difficult. In regards to both, I find them very similar in that there always seems to be this queer community that's incredibly difficult to crack until you end. It becomes just a matter of knowing enough, or knowing people, and then you suddenly realize you're part of the queer community, and you're just, where did this come from? But no, ultimately, I think it's kind of a clicky thing you just happen to find yourself in.
How has the queer community, how accepting has the queer community been?
I've never really... The pan thing is very interesting because people just write it off. And it's like, you're just a lesbian, you've only dated a woman. It's just frustrating to try and be like, explain it, and I've coined the simple phrase, I don't care what's in your pants. But, you know, and people kind of write it off. And it's just mostly I've just given up on it. And the non-binary thing, I've actually not really talked to anyone who doesn't themselves identify as that. Just because I don't look forward to that conversation of trying to explain that.
Why not?
Because people don't like things that aren't immediately accessible. And it's funny because they assume masculine since I'm, because I tend to dress more masculine dress and things of that sort. So whenever I dress feminine, they'll be like, but what about what you were saying before? And it's they like to pigeonhole you. And mostly I just kind of say, fuck y'alls, and walk away. Yeah, so is it accepting? Depends on who it is. I think most people, a lot of them just kind of don't give a fuck. I personally don't have the problem with people being gatekeeper. You know, being, you're not queer enough or something like that. Just because I've been in homosexual relationships. Still not even sure on the terms because of things and stuff. But, so that's something, I've seen people do that. It's very interesting. You know, they'll be like, I'm bi. They're like, but you've only been in heterosexual relationships, so how do you know? This is so tangential. Point being, I don't have a problem with gatekeeping. I know it exists. I've seen people do it. I'm so glad that I don't have to deal with it because it's so fucking invalidating, you know, this thing that you feel a part of, and then people saying, nah, 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 nah. It's bullshit. It's a legitimate real problem. And it's funny because the non-binary thing is classified under the trans label. But I'm invalidating their existence by classifying myself trans, because, you know, it's kind of, I feel they're, you know, the people get, they're fucking killed. What is the statistics? You know, 1 in 18 queer youth is killed, where it's like 1 in 12 or 1 in 8 trans youth is killed or something of that sort. Whereas I don't face any of the hardship they do because it's not something that is so obvious. So there's kind of that. I don't want to say it's lack of inclusiveness. I just think that there should be a better term for things. Because it's saying either you're cis or you're trans, and clearly there's a gray area. It's a spectrum. Love that phrase. And then you get people would be complain about, but you're adding things onto the acronym. Like, guys, there's clearly things more important than an acronym.
What was the coming out process like for you?
I came out on October 11th, 2008, I want to say. It's coming out day in the States. It was my first year of high school. I went to the GSA because I'm like, I am a ally. I knew I wasn't really an ally. And I knew that I was queer as fuck. And I remember there... So Santa Barbara's very white and very Latino, but there's not a huge black community. And there was this one, he was a cheerleader, he was a black cheerleader, and he was so gay, and it was just basically every minority was shoved in his face, effeminate, gay, black man, and just God love him. And they were, everyone was making stickers for coming out day. I'm like, what is this shit? And he made me one that said, I'm bi, will you marry me? And I wore that around school on October 11th. And people thought it was a joke. They seriously just thought it was a joke. Which I think is hilarious. I'm like, no, like, I'm actually very serious. And I had that sticker in the front of my binder for all 4 years of high school. So that's how I came out to public at large. Of course, I didn't come out to my parents before, or immediately after, because fuck, that's scary, even in liberal California. It's not that I knew they wouldn't be accepting. My sister's gay, so she did a lot of the more difficult dealing with bullshit. It was just stigmatized. It's like, it's something bad's going to happen. It wasn't until my second girlfriend that I actually came out. I remember I told my parents were divorced. I remember I told my dad as we drove to school. We had stopped to grab a coffee before, and he was taking his first sip. Like, Dad, I have a girlfriend. He almost choked. He was pulling onto the street. That was not the best time, considering he basically almost crashed the car. And you immediately guess who it was. It's like, is it Shannon? Like, yes. And he's very awkward and bumbling. He's just like, you know, he was very positive about it. It was just kind of awkward because we're not a big Sherry family, but he was very accepting of it. Didn't give no fucks, lack of a better phrase. Coming out to my mom, I think I said the same thing. I have a girlfriend. Note, I wasn't labeling myself in either situation. And then she was like, as if I care, and then talk about herself for the next 10 minutes because she's a cunt like that. I mean, because she's self-absorbed like that. But yeah, it's funny. My dad always still called me, well, Missy's gay, Missy's a lesbian. I'm like, Dad, I'm bi. Dad, I'm bi. But, you know, it's one of those accepting, but limited viewpoint of the world. And it's... When I came to New Zealand, I got so used to everyone knowing I'm gay. Like, I look very gay. And it was so weird to have to come out again. It felt like taking a huge step back. You know, it's like something I'm like, I did it, you know, it's like fucking, a coming-of-age story of... And then I was just doing it all over again. I was like, is this bullshit? I don't remember specifically. I remember coming out to my roommate. She was the first person. We were sitting in the room together. We're having a conversation. And somehow I was like, yeah, I'm pansexual. And I just got quiet. And she's like, so what does that mean? Love her to bits. I think I was one of the first really open, very out people she ever met. At least her age. Yeah. So it's a funny idea. Tell me your coming out story. There's always, you know, 10 billion of them. That's an end.
Sounds like some pretty positive responses that you got.
Yeah. Home life, around school and high school, around uni, my personal life, at work. Actually, my work's a very, very gay place. I've been very lucky in that people are very accepting of it.
Have you ever had any negative responses?
No, generally because either A, I wouldn't tell them, or B, they're not someone I would invite into my life. Generally, if that's the kind of person, either, you know, if I think they would react negatively to it, then they're not the kind of person I would associate with. There's a few people who were religious, and we had conversations about it. I have one very good Christian friend. You know, I came out to her. And you could tell that it was a little bit harder for her to understand. It was mostly kind of, so why are you telling me? You can tell she kind of thought, like, that's your private thought. Like, private life, why are you putting it out there? But we were also 14, 15 at the time. I don't think she'd give no fucks now. But there's a few friends who are... I've come out and, you know, they're very much... You can tell it's not their personal thing. One person I never came out to was my ex's mom. She was like an adopted mom, or a surrogate mom to me, basically. Never came out to her. Kind of, I always felt really guilty about that. I honestly never knew how she would react. So I really don't think she was accepting at all, which is just so cutting, because she was so important for, like, my last 2-3 years of high school. I always felt like I was lying to her. Didn't help that I was also dating her daughter. And I felt like I was lying about to her about that as well.
Have you ever experienced any more generalized homophobia than that?
You mean like the other day when I was walking arm in arm with the girl I'm dating? And there was these two guys, obviously somewhat drunk from Courtney Place, being like, "Hey, we know what you want. You want a big cock." We're just like, what was that accent? Was it anything? It was like, yes, we want a giant cock inside of us. Please, cis men, give us more of this. So yeah, and it's always kind of, luckily we were walking by, actually, S&M, one of the gay things, and she knows the bouncer there, and she kind of had a, hey, pointed eyebrow, or look, towards the guy, and he kind of stopped them. You know, it's always kind of like, you don't know if they're just going to be assholes and yell at you, or if, you know, they're going to try and fucking sock you right in the fucking face. You can either try and yell back at them, but that... When has that ever helped anything, really? You just kind of keep your head down, laugh to yourselves, be like, ah, this is hilarious, and not really let it be anything more. I definitely don't feel safe here than I did in Santa Barbara.
With regards to homophobia specifically?
Yeah. Like walking hand in hand with a girl.
You mentioned before working in hospitality,
mm-hmm.
And that you work in quite a queer workplace.
Mm.
Have you experienced any homophobia at work?
No, not from any workmates. I think there was the odd kind of, oh, you're a lesbian, you don't, you're like, your opinion on an attractive male doesn't matter or something like that. So it's kind of the very narrow point, but like, nothing that was aggressive or, you know, it's mostly people just being idiots. There was nothing ever, anything aggressive. I never felt like my job was threatened. I never felt like I couldn't talk about who I was dating or, you know, one of the ones I talked to the most. It's very interesting, because I talk to him frequently about my shitty love life. He's very accepting and wonderful to talk about and, you know, give point of views. And then he'll say something like, I just want you to know what a penis feels like so you can, you know, actually know, like, decide if you're gay or not, like, where you are. I'm just like, there's so many levels of wrong with what you just said.
What about from patrons?
When I work, they've never commented or anything on it. Mostly because I look hyper feminine when I work, 9 times out of 10. It's something I purposely don't bring up. I really didn't bring it up in the States because it can be such an issue there, and I would never talk about it with customers.
Why do you think it's, different in New Zealand and, the States?
Because you guys can't sue. You guys don't have Yelp. You guys don't have... I'll talk to your manager about this and fear for your job. In the States, you know, if you bring it up and a customer's angry, fucking dealing with angry customers is one of the worst things ever. So because...
Do you think it's safer to be out in the workplace in New Zealand?
Depending on who your boss is. Yeah. Because if a customer here raised a stink about it, my boss would just tell them to get out. Or in the States, they would try and accommodate the customer, at least the places I've worked. Definitely one, maybe two of the places I've worked. They would just be like, you know, be like, Missy, go do something else. And they would deal with the customer, you know. They wouldn't be happy, but it's a very different mentality in the States, hospitality.
If you could give a message to youth who are queer, coming out, figuring out their identity in similar situations to where you were, what would you say?
Labels aren't inherently bad because they help you figure things out.
Is that something that you struggled with?
Yeah. It took me forever to even call myself bi. I was like, no. And it's kind of when I was, I don't know what this is. And I was always going between bi and lesbian, blah. I tried to figure that out. But never really trying to put words to it because I didn't want to. And it's kind of putting a name to something. Since gives a sense of validation, like it's a real thing, it exists, I'm not nothing, especially more now with definitely gender identity, because there's been times I've wondered, am I trans, and it never really felt right, and then, you know, something like when I found out about non-binary and genderqueer and things of that sort, I'm like, that definitely fits, because I don't fit into what is female, that's never felt right for me. But nor does saying I'm man doesn't feel right either. And so finding those words really gave a sense of validation and a way to explain things. But in saying that, that labels aren't evil, you can change. Just because you're five, when you're five you like red, and now that you're 15 you like something else, doesn't mean you didn't like red when you were five, doesn't mean you have to continue liking red for the rest of your life. You know, you can change, doesn't invalidate what you were, won't change who you are, you're still figuring shit out. Don't prevent yourself from figuring anything out. It's not wrong to give yourself a name, and you don't have to stick to what you call yourself. You can always change it.
How do you think that the less diverse gay community is accepting of those ideas of fluid sexuality?
It's fucking frustrating, because it's like the Americans coming or the English coming to the Americas to escape persecution, only to kill and persecute everyone else. It creates a hierarchy. It creates a gated social structure. It's this idea, you know, and it gives like media and stuff this idea of, we gave you a gay white straight or a gay white man. Isn't that enough? And then when people ask for more and different representation, they get really pissy about it. And yet, you know, the people who are heard most, the people who are given the greatest voice, i.e. white gay men, kind of just like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's all good. And it's just... And it's very frustrating because it's just continued narrow-mindedness about something. You know, it's like hitting a basic... basic level of acceptance and then just stopping.
If you could give a similar message to the people that surrounded you at that time. So to the more generalized mainstream community about how to help coming out queer youths, what would you say?
Fucking let them talk. Be excited for them. And some people tell these stories of, you know, they came out and their parents are just like, sure, whatever. And they really like that. But I always kind of thought taking that extra moment to be like, we still love you, we still accept you, we're not writing it off as nothing, because it takes so much courage to come out. It, you know, it's something you obsessively think over. You know, you think, this is the thing I need to do, this thing is expected of me, I'm not valid in the community unless I do this. And then to get that response of just, that's cool, I'm moving on. I just kind of think, you know, it's something that's emotionally exhausting, at least at this time and age. I hope for the day where people can be like, I'm dating a dude, or I'm dating a girl, I'm dating someone who's neither. And be always like, that's cool and wonderful. That'd be excellent. But we're not there. It's still stigmatized. People are still killed for this. So taking that moment of saying, we still love you, we're still here for you, you can always talk to us, so important.
You talked about the age where you can say you're dating someone regardless of their gender and it's acceptable.
Or not dating someone.
Or not.
Sorry, sorry, Aces. Yep.
When do you think that age will be? Do you think it will happen?
It depends on the country. Depends on where you are. depends on the family. I don't know. I think it's happening to varying degrees. I have no idea. Kind of expect the world to end before I expect that to come.
What can we do to help encourage the advent of that age?
I think educating, as much as I was like, it's not my job to educate people. Representation and educating. Knowing that these are options. Knowing that these things exist, that people are this way, that these are real things. These are real people. And then getting rid of, like, a lot of stereotypes of lesbians have short hair and are super butch, which I feel like is more or less dying down to some degree. I mean, you still have femme invisibility. Totally a thing. But I don't think the super butch stereotype is nearly as bad as it was in the 90s. Because I remember the 90s. So, you know, just getting rid of the idea of certain people, only certain people are attracted, are on the spectrum. And that anyone can, the gays are everywhere, is basically what I'm trying to say. And then, so getting rid of stereotypes, having representation, knowing these things exist. So people don't have preconceived notions and don't find the need or entitlement to preconceived notions.
Are you talking about representation in the media?
Just everywhere. You know, people just call representation in the media, like, that's the end all be all. Get into politics, get into science, get into everything. It's the media force feeds us images, but having a black president is so important to so many people in the States and across the world. The media is not the only thing that needs is only not the only place to have representation.
So I previously asked you what you would say to the more mainstream community. This time, what would you say to the specific queer community and what they can do to make their communities a safer space for people coming out with minority identities?
I feel like this is really obvious. Don't be a dick. Why is dick and cunt the two words I thought about? One of my favorite quotes, everyone is fighting a hard battle, be kind. Even if you don't understand it, because that's, you know, fine, whatever. People introduce new ideas, things of that sort. Just because you personally can't relate to it doesn't mean you have to be an asshole. Talk to them, understand, be accepting. You don't need to understand to be accepting. It'd be great if you did. Please don't not try to be understanding. But instead of, you know, people's immediate responses to be attacking or invalidating. You don't know what you're talking about. What is this thing? That's not really trying to be a special snowflake. Things of that sort. If they don't understand something, and that's just so unnecessary. Listen to people. Listen when they say something that you don't understand. Go do research. Things don't occur in a vacuum.